The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This past fall, I worked 6 days a week. This past fall, I got up at 4 a.m. on Sundays. This past fall, I hosted Fantasy Football Now, a show leading you into kickoff and getting you ready with your fantasy football lineups. In that show, I got to know one of our fantasy experts, Mike Clay. So scrolling through his Twitter feed today, I found some of the nicest gems, the biggest pieces of football candy you can find. Total predictions for everybody's win total, division winners, and yardage for individual players. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation, 888-729-3776. And joining me now here on the Will Cain Show is our ESPN fantasy football expert. It is Mike Clay. What's up, Mike?
Oh, not too much, my friend. You just pointed out what you found on my social media, all these numbers. So you know what I've been doing for the last few months since I've seen you last? What was that, like early January when we had the last show? That's what I've been doing for the last 3 months or so.
You have win totals roughly down to the decimal point, 8.9, 8.3, projections for every team in the league. Thus, we have division winners, and you have yardage, touchdown, totals, everything for quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. It's amazing. So before I start even asking you what you're projecting, how do you do that, man? Like, what are you doing? Are you going game by game and projecting the box score? How are you doing that?
So you have, I don't know when the show is airing right now, but do you have a few hours? Do you have 2-3 hours? We can,
we can take a deep dive here. Give the elevator pitch.
right. Yeah. It's a long process. It's something I built probably about a decade ago, really using Microsoft Excel, honestly, for most of it. But it's a lot of things together. I start really with league trends. I move to team and coach and coordinator trends and then move to the player level. And, I kind of do each thing on its own and then it kind of all comes together at the end with one big refresh, and you have the player projections and they feed into the win totals for all the teams. And you know, it's everything. I do the player projections for the ESPN fantasy game. So if you think about all the categories you could pick, I project all of those down to punters, kickers, returners, head coaches you could use. That's actually an option. It's everything combined into one, and that's why I can pump out all these kind of things.
It's a league simulation, in essence. Mike Clay, ESPN's fantasy football expert here on the Will Cain Show. Before we get into various team projections, let's talk about some players. So how does Tom Brady look in your simulation as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
He looks fantastic because, you know, if you look at what he's done with New England the past couple of years, it's been very conservative play, right? And a big part of that, Will, is that they just haven't really had great weapons, right? They haven't had consistent downfield threats. There's a reason that they drafted N'Keal Harry last season, and they've been in, you know, rumor to be trying to trade for wide receivers, and why they took a shot on Antonio Brown and before that Josh Gordon. They've just struggled to find consistent weapons. Not to mention that they traded for Mohamed Sanu last season, another kind of slot short area target. So he hasn't really had downfield options for quite a while, and that's why he's been so conservative, but he's been effective for the most part. It wasn't great last year, don't get me wrong, but I still think he has it in him to put together at least one more big season. So the projections come in pretty nicely. I actually have him around 4,500 yards. I mean, you think about this Bruce Arians offense. What do they want to do? They want to push it downfield. They want to get the ball to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And that scheme change, I think, is going to be huge for his yardage totals and his touchdown number. So I expect a bounce back season and, you know, to kind of put the fantasy spin on it, I think he will be back in that top 10 conversation. That's not an area he's been very much over the past few seasons.
Yeah, you had him at 29 touchdowns, 4,500 yards. What about Phillip Rivers? How's he fit in as a Colt?
I think he's an upgrade for that team, and honestly, I think they're the favorites to win the AFC South right now. But Rivers has not been a good fantasy quarterback for a long time. I mean, let's be honest, he's a statue in the pocket. He doesn't add anything with his legs, and he'll put up decent yardage and attempt numbers. Occasionally, he'll get into that 30, 35 touchdown area, and he may do that with the Colts. But it's a new era, you know, in fantasy, and you have to add value with your legs to be a consistent QB1 option with very few exceptions. He does not do that. And again, it's been a long time since he's been a consistent fantasy starter. So I would stay away from him there. But again, just applying it to NFL, I think he's certainly an upgrade. He was probably better than he gets credit for last season. And I think he helps this Colts team that is an elite offensive line and a terrific defense. I think he helps them get to the top of the AFC South.
top of the AFC South. You also had the Bucs with Brady winning roughly 9 games. I think they were second in the NFC South in your projections. I noticed, obviously I would, you got the Cowboys winning roughly 10 games and winning the NFC East. And I feel like every other analyst, I talked about this last week, they love the Eagles. You didn't dislike the Eagles. Your simulation churned out 9 wins for the Eagles, but not as good as what the Cowboys have coming in.
Yeah, no doubt. And that kind of surprised me a little bit too. And I understand why people would be surprised, because it's not like they've made substantial changes. And in fact, they lost some pretty decent players, right? With, you think about Byron Jones and Jason Witten. And, of course you have the Travis Frederick retirement. I mean, there were certainly some losses, but, you know, they upgraded as well and in key areas, I thought, right? So you think about safety. That's been a weak spot for them. I had them as one of the worst safety groups going into last season. I thought that would be a problem area. They had Clinton Dix there. The interior defensive line, that's an area where you're seeing the top teams in the league prioritize, right, including the Eagles. That's an area where they're always addressing, always trying to bring in talent. The Cowboys have been weak there for years. I ranked them last in that category last season. Well, what they do, they went out and got Gerald McCoy, one of the best interior defensive linemen of the past decade. They bring him in, as well as Don Terry Poe, is a good run stuffer. So now you have them two and Tyrone Crawford. You know, don't overlook that just because they lost some big names. I mean, that's huge. Bringing in those big names counts as well. So like those additions, the defense is in pretty good shape. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line is still very good, even without Frederick. You have Zeke. You have a pair of star wide receivers. Dak Prescott was one of the most effective quarterbacks in the league last season. They're loaded at linebacker on the defensive side of the ball, still have decent corners. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, you can go on and on from top to bottom. This is a pretty darn good team. And by the way, well, I know you're a Cowboys fan. I'm an Eagles fan, right? So I could be biased here, and yet I'm not, because I can't really ignore what Dallas is bringing to the table this season.
Hey, the math is the math. Mike Clay here on the Will Cain Show. He's got a full simulation, full computer Excel spreadsheet analysis of every team. And I'm telling you, it's not just their win total breakdowns. It's individual player projections for fantasy, running back, wide receiver, quarterback. But also, it breaks down position groups by who's best, who's worst in the league. For example, you talked about the Cowboys' defensive line last year, but I noticed this year you had their linebacker group number one. I just thought it's awesome. It's so detailed. So I think one of the most difficult divisions this coming year, Mike, to project would be the NFC West. Because the Seahawks, you presume, are going to be good. Of course, the Niners just went to the Super Bowl. The Rams were there a year ago, and the Cardinals are on the rise. How do you have the NFC West shaken out?
Well, I still have the 49ers number one. The defense is still in terrific shape, even though DeForest Buckner was traded to the Colts, but they're still outstanding at three deep at the edge. I mean, keep in mind, last season, as good as that defense was, they barely got anything from Dee Ford, who was one of their big offseason acquisitions. He's going to be back in that mix as well. So, you know, defense perhaps takes a little bit of a step back, but I still think it's a top five unit. Offensively, Jimmy Garoppolo was pretty darn good. Remember, that's the first time he's played double digit games in a regular season last year, and he was pretty effective. That offensive line is great. So I think they're still the best team, maybe not a top three or four team like they seem most of last season, but I do think they're, you know, the team that comes out on top with Kyle Shanahan's leadership. I still have Seattle right in that 9-7 range. You know, I've kind of been too low on them the past few seasons, and maybe rightfully so, because, you know, they got away with a lot. Their scoring differential was right around zero last season. They were maybe lucky to get as many wins as they did, but I like the defensive moves they've made, especially Quentin Dunbar at corner. So that defense is in decent shape. And of course, they have that Russell Wilson guy. So I like them a lot. Rams, 8-8. You know, they lost too much talent. They don't have many draft picks. I'm not sure they're going to get much better going for the rest of the offseason. And then the Cardinals, again, right in that 8-8 sort of range. Can they make a huge leap? It's possible, but I'm still worried about the offensive line, and the defense still has a lot of holes. But, you know, if Kyler Murray's legit and he makes a huge leap forward, much like Patrick Mahomes 2 seasons ago, Lamar Jackson last season, if he makes that big leap, the Cardinals will be a contender for sure. And by the way, we get that extra playoff spot this season. Mm-hmm. So even if he starts to trend up as the year goes on and they sneak in, perhaps the Cardinals can make a run. It's all really going to come down to how much better he is in his second season.
All right, really quickly here with Mike Clay. In your projections, who was the biggest breakout star statistically, and who was the guy you need to point to? It's like that might be a disappointment, at least according to my projections.
Interesting question for sure. lot of ways to go with it. You know, I probably, if we weren't just talking about him, I probably would have went with someone like Kyler Murray, right? Because the numbers should improve in his second season. You would expect him to make that leap. I think a guy who I feel pretty good about and showed up higher, kind of higher than expected in the projections, and maybe not if you watch the playoffs, but Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. I mean, the guy's a ball carrier and one of the primary targets in that offense. Even though they run it a lot, they're going to score a lot. Kyle Shanahan, his offenses are consistently very good when he has a decent quarterback. So I think Deebo Samuel, again, though we did see him kind of shine in the playoffs, I think he really takes that step forward and becomes a star this season. So that one for sure. And then let's see, on the other end, how about, you know, kind of a disappointment, you know, maybe probably like Baker Mayfield, right? You know, we all kind of liked him to perhaps make the leap last season, but there were some red flags that were overlooked by a lot of people, including, you know, the offensive tackles and how often he was throwing interceptions, the fact that he doesn't add a lot with his legs. And, you know, could he kind of bounce back with Kevin Stefanski there and make that leap, kind of jump back into the, you know, become a superstar, become a fantasy relevant player? I still hesitate. They're, you know, they're not done on the offensive line, but tackle at left tackle at least is still a concern area. They still are going to operate probably a more of a balanced offense, and I still have concerns about him throwing too many interceptions. In fact, I've him projected with 15, which would lead the NFL, and that probably won't change unless Jameis Winston finds a starting gig somewhere. So, you know, maybe I came away a little underwhelmed with that that Browns offense. But, yep, you know, it's year three. I like Baker coming into the league, so maybe he can make that leap, but a lot has to go right.
All right, it's Mike Clay, ESPN's fantasy football expert. He has projections for teams and individual players. You should go check it out on his feed. What is your feed, Mike?
It is at Mike Clay NFL.
There you go. Go check it out. It's really awesome stuff. Mike, thanks for jumping on. I loved it, man. Thank you.
Anytime, Will. Take care.
All right, take care. The Major League Baseball, UFC, and NFL are not allowing the perfect to be the enemy of the good. They're going to go forward with trying to give us sports back. How? What are their ideas? Next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Sports leagues across the country are looking for ways to come back, just like us, just like the economy. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Save you up to half the cost of the big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. As we speak, there are various pieces of audio floating around social media, I'm sure soon to be floating around your television and radio dials, about when sports will come back. Two of the most recent have to do with college football. Mack Brown was on the Paul Feinbaum show today. Now, Mack Brown is the head coach at the University of North Carolina, and he was asked whether or not he thought we'd get to have college football this season. Fellas, tell me, do we have that sound from Mack Brown today on the Paul Feinbaum show?
Checking now.
Okay.
While you're looking. Yep, I believe we got one here.
Okay. While you're looking for that Mack Brown sound and getting it teed up, I'll tell you this. I don't think we have the sound, but Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State head coach, and I haven't got a chance to hear this yet, but apparently has targeted May 1st for a date to try to get people back into the building and working and being tested, and then players not far behind for this. And again, I have not yet heard Mike Gundy's full comments. I just know that college football writers are currently taking a whack with a stick at the Mike Gundy pinata right now over his comments. I'm going to go back and try to listen to those, what he had to say that has got everybody so upset. Here is Mack Brown, though, today on the Paul Feinbaum Show, talking about the difficulties in putting on a college football season. First, can it move?
I heard people start talking about let's play in June because it's hotter. Well, we're not going to be ready to play in June, so that's ridiculous. I've heard some say let's move it back to spring. Well, then you're looking at scenarios about what about the draft? Will your seniors not want to play because the draft's in April and you're playing football games? What about high school guys? What about your early enrollees? What would they do? Would they be eligible to play and miss their senior in high school if you're playing high school football in the spring?
There's Mack Brown, the difficulty moving the season either forward or backward. And then he wasn't done there. Mack Brown said, can't imagine football without fans in the stands, not just because of the environment, but because of safety.
Well, I don't think we can have football without fans. I mean, I can't even fathom it. So that's not even something that I think about or talk about. If it's not safe for fans, it's not safe for players. They're going to be right next to each other. I mean, they're going to be hitting each other in the mouth and breathing on each other for 3.5-4 hours. So I just don't see that working either way.
So Mack Brown's pessimistic on the return of football. We'll look into Mike Gundy's comments and see what has everybody upset about what he had to say here on the Will Cain Show. Meanwhile, we started the day with the concept that Major League Baseball is going to try to set up, in our Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan's words, a biosphere, a environment where nobody comes in or out and everybody's protected and tested. And then you play baseball games in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, Diamondback Stadium plus spring training facilities all around, all 30 teams in this bubble. But players would have to go away from their families for 4.5 months, potentially. Would they do that? Think about your answer and see if it travels the same path as Passan's conversation with one Major League Baseball player. Listen.
I asked a player a couple days ago, hey, if you have to go into a bubble city and you are separated from your family for an indeterminate amount of time, and this is a player who has a wife and kids, is that something that's going to work for you? And his initial response was, no effing way. Yesterday afternoon, I get a text from the same player. It says, talked with my wife, and she said, if the only way that I get paid this year is by having to go into the bubble, here I come, bubble.
That's what I imagine it would be as well. I think people are risk tolerant. I think people are dying for normalcy. And I think people are starving for productivity. They want to get back to their lives. And I think that doesn't just include you and me and our daily routines. I think it includes professional athletes. The truth is, I think if most were presented with that option, you may have to be away for a little while, but you're going to get back to working. Most people are going to choose working. Working is about more than a paycheck, by the way. Working is about an identity. It's about a mindset. It's about being a productive human being, and everyone needs that. Andre in Massachusetts is on the phone line. What's up, Andre?
Yeah, how you doing, Will? Thanks for taking my call. The MLB, in my view, got it 100% right, first of all, in terms of trying to get back, and then in terms of the host city that they've chosen, Arizona, particularly the greater Phoenix area. And I'll tell you why. First of all, the rates of the virus in this area are relatively low in terms in reference to other areas of the country. If you want to talk about California, if you want to talk about New York. So their overall percentage of cases at the present time is lower. B, in terms of the weather, it's already spring in the Southwest. And we know that the influenzas don't do as well in the warmer. It's already spring there, 84, 85 degrees. I actually have my brother and my uncle actually graduated from ASU. I have family right in this area. But then C, why I'm so optimistic about this proposal is that this area is used to hosting big national events. The Super Bowl, basically every other year, is in Glendale. You know, they just had the NCAA March Madness in Glendale, the NBA All-Star Game. So this, you know, the greater Phoenix metropolitan area, they're used to hosting big national events. It's kind of a part of their culture and their infrastructure. So in terms of it being a host city, I think they would be prepared, you know, for this possibility. In conclusion, Will, you made a great point in terms of, you know, your athletic background and the people that you're around and big and strong and fast and how, you know, you're not necessarily aware of that. I was a little taken aback, though, that the Supreme Leader fared the way that he did in your in-house poll. You know, being the Supreme Leader, I don't sleep on the athleticism of Nuno. So, you know, if the fans had a vote, I think that he would be kind of in the middle, not necessarily a Division I aquatics athlete, but I think that he would be in the middle as opposed to at the bottom, being the Supreme Leader.
All right. He's on your team, Andre. I appreciate the call. Maybe not a Division I aquatics athlete, but Nuno, the athlete. Here on the Will Cain Show. We'll find out. He didn't get too butthurt that he was, what did we decide, the last guy chosen on a sports team?
Yeah, he picked himself.
He picked himself.
Even
as
he
well.
Chose it, so I don't know where Andre's coming from there.
We also decide that Bubba's the most likely serial killer. Let's play another round of butthurt. Plus, the UFC has its own idea. While baseball's looking at a bubble of biosphere, college football's debating its ability to return. The UFC is going to buy an island. Next on the Will Cain Show.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Baseball wants a bubble. The NFL draft's gone virtual. And the UFC wants an island. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to do another round of butthurt coming up in just a moment. But I thought I might tell the guys, Mike A., Bubba, Nuno, just going through some of my messages here. I just overlooked this one from this past weekend on Instagram. Just for the record, this here from Corey. Devil's Advocate was not what I expected. But I really liked it. Great choice, exclamation point. Me and the wife are going to watch either My Cousin Vinny or A Few Good Men next. Love the show. Take care. So there's a vote for Devil's Advocate. Someone else doing their homework over the weekend, not just us.
Who signed that? John Milton?
It was not John Milton. It was not the devil.
I'm the hand of Mona Lisa's skirt.
It's so good. Do you know that after the show yesterday, I spent all of dinner playing Al Pacino's greatest speeches to my kids while we ate. We watched his speech from A Scent of a Woman. We watched a little bit of the Devil's Advocate one because that was a little inappropriate. And we watched Any Given Sunday, Life is a Game of Inches. We went through the pantheon of Al Pacino's speeches there at the dinner table. Speaking of speeches, Dana White, the UFC president, has suggested he's going to get an island. UFC 249 is on. Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje will be somewhere in the United States. Location, TBD. But for international fights, he's getting an island. That's right. Private island, private air service. Going to get everybody in there, test them, and have fights on a weekly basis. Stephen A. Smith on First Take today said Dana needs to be careful because you got to worry about this.
What I would caution him to do is to pay attention to things from an optics perspective, Max. And guess why I would say that? Dare I say, Max, it would be because of people like yourself and others. Not about Dana White per se as it pertains to UFC 249 and beyond, but just the optics overall because of the times that we're living in. Dana White spoke at the Republican National Convention. He has been on the record saying he would never say a negative word about the president. He is obviously a staunch supporter of the president, and there are an abundance of people, including yourself privately, publicly, and otherwise, who have been critical of the president in terms of the verbiage coming out of his mouth. So when you're gung-ho about going and being steadfast in your approach to make sure that there's a UFC 249 event and you're dogged about it, if you give the impression at all that you're ignoring, and keep in mind, neither yourself nor I are even suggesting that Dana White and the UFC is doing such a thing, because we know he's not by virtue of the details that evolve around what he's doing to put this event together. In the end, though, because of critics out there who will take his association with a president that they have unapologetically vilified, the bottom line is you never know how that gets attached to Dana White.
All right. I have three thoughts. I'll buck and remember all three of them. Three points of view on this. Number one, Stephen A. is expressing a point of view worried about a bubble of people that not necessarily represent the entire country. That's just a fact. I don't have a point of view that I'm sharing with you on this. I don't have a side that I'm taking. All I'm telling you is that is coming from a perspective that there is only one belief, and it's just simply wrong. So for Dana White to have an opinion or even an affiliation on this that might not align with some ill-defined certain percentage of critics, and that's something that should be driving his decision-making, seems to insinuate there's only one point of view in this country, one right decision, one affiliation, and you must align with that, which is just totally, totally, ridiculously incorrect. Number two, it also assigns any issue or belief to simply team sports. What I mean is turning issues into team sports. Who gives a damn who shares your opinion? If you think it's right or wrong, go forward with it. If Dana White thinks it's the right thing to do, to hell with who else shares that opinion. Okay? I don't go through my life like that. I don't assume Stephen A. goes through his life like that. So why should he tell Dana White that he should be worried about that? If I think it's right, if I think the issue falls a certain way and I fall on it that way, I could give a damn who else shares my opinion. And if you want to play guilt by association, that's your problem, not mine. I just analyze the issue and tell you what I think's right or wrong. You can play the tiddlywinks game of playing connections and connect four and whose team you're on, and then I shouldn't give a damn, which brings me to my point number three, to hell with critics. I don't care about optics. I don't care about critics. Make your decision. And you know what? That's what Dana White's doing. And I'll applaud him for that because he's looking for solutions in a world full of problems. He's looking for answers in a world full of questions. You can like it or not like it. You can laugh and we can joke about a private island. We can name it the island of Dr. Moreau. We can name it, I don't know, Enter the Dragon. I don't know which is the right name for the island. That's not really up for me to decide. That's up for Dana to decide because he's the one looking for solutions. Well, now we like it or not, he's trying to get some semblance of life back to normal and he wants to put on fights on a weekly basis. I hope it works, and I applaud him for being a solution person, not a problem person. Take critics, take optics, take affiliations, and shove them where the sun don't shine. In the meantime, we can try to deal with a crisis by actually looking for the right answers, not the popular answers. All right. Let's talk about my conversation with Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's manager. I want to play for you a little clip of that because I think, probably based upon something like what I just had to say, we went into the conversation a little wary. But what we found is sports fans are sports fans and issues are issues and we can discuss through them. We had a good time and we'll have a good time also playing a little game of butthurt.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
So last week I sat down and had a long conversation with Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman. You can check out the whole thing in the Will Cain Show podcast. I'm going to be doing more of that, long interviews. I think it's fair to say Rich and I went into this with our preconceptions about each other. But the ice was broken fairly quickly. And I have to give Rich credit. He jumped right in and started giving it to me. And that's the best way to get me on your side. Here is how that conversation started. A conversation which then wove into how he got started, how he became a manager. What's the difference between a manager and agent? How'd you get your hustle on? How'd you become the entrepreneur? How'd you become Kevin Durant's manager? But it all started here. You doing okay through all of this?
Yeah, man. I am, you know, taking it one day at a time, as I'm sure you and the rest of the world are. Where are you right now?
I am in Tennessee. I left my home in New York City about 2 weeks ago, and I'm at a home kind of in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. It's a nice place to get away to, and I'm grateful for that. And that's where I'm doing my show from right now. What about you?
Well, hold, we're going to get back to that in a second because I assumed you were from Dallas, the way you talked about your Cowboys. But I am outside of the city, which is a blessing. But, you know, I'd live in Manhattan, so it wasn't until a few weeks ago that we got out. And fortunate to be able to do so just because of how scary it is in the city right now.
I live in Manhattan as well, and that's where I left. But make no mistake here now, Rich. I am from a small town outside of Dallas, born and raised.
Oh. Right.
This is just the one day drive I had from the city, the closest place I could get to that I had access to. So that's how I ended
up in
Tennessee.
You drove from Manhattan to Tennessee?
I did. Yeah. One day. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, then that makes me feel better, because if you were this like rabid Cowboy fan and you weren't even from outside of Dallas or Dallas, I don't even know where I could start.
Would that bother you? That just be like all these, you think they're bandwagon America's Team fans? That would really destroy
the vision? It would just give me some more like kind of color on what kind of Cowboy fan you are, because I'm all for how much you love them and like the goggles that you see them through, because I'm a Giant fan. You know, I get it. And NFC East people, like, as much as I hate each one of the teams individually, I also can, like, still feel some pride in that, like, we're still the best division in football, in my opinion. But knowing that you're a true Cowboy fan now, I feel a little better about it, yes.
I have very, very strong views on this. My belief is this. You don't get to choose your teams. You are born to your teams. You are generally born with geographic assignment to whoever you're a fan of. And that's not just football. That's basketball, because I'm an old school basketball fan, baseball, and every sport. But there is an asterisk. There is a caveat here. If your father or mother brainwashed you because of their affiliation to some other market that you didn't grow up in, then that's okay, because that's what I'm doing with my boys. They're New York boys, born in New York, but believe me, they're Cowboy fans.
I think that's true. I think that's true. You're born into it. I think in New York, though, it also depends on like what kind of fan your parents are, because in New York, if you don't have a parent that's just like a diehard Yankee fan, you may lean Met, which I did because I was 10 in 1986 when they won the World Series and everyone loved that team. So, but overall, I agree with you. Here's another caveat, though. If you are in the business I'm in, it's very entertaining to become a fan of, let's say, the Golden State Warriors for the last 3 years, or the Oklahoma City Thunder before that, or the Brooklyn Nets now.
Well, that's convenient for you, right?
Yes, that does become part of the asterisk there.
Yeah, if you represent Kevin Durant, you might become a Brooklyn Net fan. That's Rich Kleiman and I talking. It gets a little deeper. It talks about the value of networking. It talks about the value of hustle and entrepreneurship, how he became a guy who runs Kevin Durant's venture capital fund. Again, you go check the whole thing out on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. It's a long-form interview. I think you'll dig it there. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Okay, we've been playing a game today. I think we're going to play this game throughout the next couple of weeks, whenever we want. We're just going to draw a card. Game's called Butt Hurt, and we take everybody on this show, Pat, Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, and myself, and decide who's most likely to get butt hurt on the situation or question asked on this card. Mike A. is the keeper of the cards for now, and he's ready to draw one and have our little debate about who's going to get most upset.
He is loving this back there.
Who is most likely to be a peeping Tom?
Okay, I have to count down. We all say, you like this one, Bubba, a lot. I'll count down from five, and we all say the name. I've got it. I'm ready. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Pat
Nuno, yeah. Yeah.
I think if I'm not mistaken, that was four Pats and one Nuno. Is that what
yes,
that was?
I said Nuno because I knew everyone was going to say me.
I mean, there was the creep factor from college. I thought about going that road, but I felt like that was maybe dismissed. So I felt like the next likely candidate was Pat.
We figured out that was fake news, so we can't punish
right,
Nuno
exactly.
For that.
That's my first thought was, oh, well, he creeped. Nope, that was fake. So I had to go with Pat.
And plus, I can't see Nuno creeping around any bushes with any stealthiness to actually get a peep on, you know, so it's Pat.
Just pay for it.
The ladder, how am I going to see over into the window?
Right.
That's a great visual, though.
Nuno with the ladder creeping around in somebody's bushes.
Especially now, his long hair, beard. Is that long hair Nuno looking into my window?
Said Jeff Darlington. Nah, it's Pat. Clearly it's Pat. So he's simultaneously the prude and the peeping Tom of the show, which I don't find contradictory
at all.
Yeah,
it's because he's the prude.
That's right. All right, Mike, you got another one?
Who would trip you for the hell of it?
Okay. Who would trip you for the hell of it? I got it. 5, 4, 3, two, one.
Will.
Mike.
I lost it there.
I think it was four Wills and one Mike. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I went with Mike. I mean, it was like...
I want Mike.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was like 51-49 Will versus Mike, and
I
just went with the Mike.
So was I.
It was between you and me, Mike, for me, too.
You guys chose right.
I think just him being in the room, knowing he could actually do it, he might physically trip me.
Not from 6 feet, Bubs.
True. That's right. You guys are social distancing. No tripping there. It's funny because I think we're on the same page with each other. I think we're doing a good job assessing each other.
You want another one?
Let's do one more to round out this sweet bad boy.
Who is most likely to raise a child that will grow up to be a butthole?
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
This is the one you asked us about in break? The word?
Yeah.
How to use that word correctly?
Yes, that is not the word written on the card.
This is hard because, Mike A., I don't know your wife. We don't know who Pat and Bubba and Nuna are going to settle down with, although it's going to happen soon for Bubba.
1 minute.
Because that's a huge component in this.
All
right, we're past 5 seconds. Let's make our choices.
Okay, five, four.
I might pick Pat now.
Three, two, one.
Nuno.
Nuno.
There was several Nunos in there. I went Nuno. How many Nunos was that?
I think it was 4-1 or 3-2.
At least I Nuno.
I heard me in there.
I went Mike A. Well, pick Nuno.
I think it was Nuno. And you know what? I'm going to tell you my answer to this. I think it's because Nuno's ultimately a pretty nice dude, and I'm not sure he'd put the hammer down on the kid. That was why I voted Nuno. What about you guys?
I just figured it was Nuno because whoever he marries would just totally run the house.
I just think he's a secret psychopath.
Psychopaths
That's
don't
one
reign.
Of the cards.
No, it's the pushover you got to worry about. Those are the little tyrants they raise.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.